warning, there's truth overhead. It gets beyond all the headlines you read. Don't need lip service with a wink and a nod. You need a man on a mission from God. Well, not to worry, here's Bob and Yardline.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. On Monday, we did a program here at Bob Enyart Live. Our website is kgov.com, and it was titled The Final Reason to Save Your Kids. You know, for years, we do reason number, 497, to take your kids out of government schools or to keep your kids out of public schools, reason number 692, and so on. And so on Monday, we did the final reason to save your kids from the government schools is the student who killed his math teacher and then killed himself at a middle school. So today, I hope you could understand the confusion I had when I thought that the story that it actually happened yesterday afternoon when they found the math teacher's body. And the student was arrested for murdering her. You can understand the confusion I had because, well, we reported that the math teacher was killed and then the student killed himself. We said that's the final reason. I mean, how many reasons are there? One of the friends of Bob Enyart Live, his name is Drew. He's a local pro-life activist. And he told me, he said, Bob, take heart. His Drew's sister had her kids going to public school, and she started homeschooling her children. She has a handful of kids, beautiful family, and they're all being homeschooled. So that's yet another family, right? And yet another, and yet another. We've been on the air for 22 years encouraging families to homeschool their kids, take their kids out of government school. But so when I saw this story, how could this student be arrested and charged with murder if he committed suicide, right? That was the confusion. Well, the student who killed the math teacher in Nevada is different from the student who killed the math teacher the next day in Massachusetts. See, they're two different stories. So in Nevada on Monday, it was a middle school student who shot and killed a math teacher, and then fatally shot himself in front of other children. And that happened at the beginning of the school day as kids were arriving to school. And so it was early enough in the day that, you know, we saw the story and reported it that same day on Monday, October 21st, 2013. By the way, our website, kgov.com, you could also reach us 1-800-8-ENYART, 1-800-836-9278. Do we still have that book, The Harsh Truth About Public Schools by Bruce Short? The Harsh Truth About Public Schools. If you have someone that needs some convincing to get their kids out of public school, or if you're a grandmother, a grandfather, and you need some convincing to help your kids, maybe offer them a tuition grant or something. If they homeschool, you'll buy the curriculum for the kids. Or maybe you'll buy the laptop. Make sure you get Net Nanny on it or Covenant Eyes. You know, you'll help your kids out with your grandkids' education, maybe financially a bit, if they need encouragement to take the kids out of public school. But if you need extra motivation, you could order from us online at kgov.com. Just click on the store or call us 800-8-ENYART. Or you could also call in with that number to share your thoughts. But the book is The Harsh Truth About Public School. And it's by a friend of this show, Bruce Short. And it'll, if you need any encouragement, I don't know why you would. I mean, people really got to be stubborn, right? And willfully ignorant to continue to think that kids are safe in government schools. But so this was a middle school in Nevada. It was the Sparks Middle School, and this happened at 7:15 a.m. local time, of course, yesterday, and that's in the Reno, Nevada area. And so the next day, this happened. The teacher disappeared before noon, and the police eventually searched the school. This is in Massachusetts at the Danvers High School. And the student who killed this math teacher was apparently 14-year-old boy, being held now on a charge of murdering her. And so she was reported missing at 11:20. Oh, wait a minute. I said just before noon. Is this incorrect? Because this is 11:20 in the evening. Okay, so that explains why we didn't hear about it till late last night. She was reported missing at 11:20 last night, 9:20 Mountain Time. And the police searched the school and found blood in a second floor bathroom. You'd think that would have been reported by the school, like by close of business, right? But hey, it's just blood in a public school bathroom. Just, you know, some standard operating procedure or something. It's not like kids are killing one another in the schools. So when the report was that she was missing, then eventually the police searched the school and found blood in a second floor bathroom. And then they found the teacher. Now, the teacher's name is Colleen Ritzer, R-I-T-Z-E-R. And they found her body later behind the school. And so there's been a news conference already this morning. And it's the student, the 14-year-old who apparently killed her, they picked him up at just after midnight, 12:30 this morning, local time, outside of Boston. And he was walking on a local highway on the side of the road. And the police picked him up, and they found a video surveillance footage recovered at the school that led them to believe that this 14-year-old was the murderer. Then apparently, although I haven't heard or seen the interview, but in the interview, police say that they had, you know, additional reason to believe, to know that this guy is the murderer. And so the evidence indicates that this 14-year-old assaulted and then murdered Colleen Ritzer and disposed of her body near the school grounds behind the school. They found corroborating evidence at multiple scenes. And Ritzer and the student are known to each other from the school. So that, you know. So now when we find out the rest of the story, right, it'll get uglier. It doesn't get better, right? Typically, it gets uglier. And the school shootings that have happened, one theme that runs through them is that we have the media saying, well, we need to be able to spot the warning signs. And you realize that typically the warning signs are neon billboards flashing, telling everyone that there is a crisis brewing. And even when it's remember Columbine High School, remember the murderers there. I mean, the evidence was so overwhelming, even to the sheriff's department, Jefferson County Sheriff's Department, with the family that took the death threats and the pipe bombs and all and the website to the sheriff's department. And the sheriff's department filled out the paperwork to search the home of the murderers, one or both of them, I forget. And then for some reason, that search warrant application was quashed, and it never became public, the reason why. I mean, the process, the paperwork had begun. It was underway, and then it was stopped. And if you recall, for the first couple years, the Jefferson County Sheriff's Department lied. I mean, this is in the governor's report. They lied. They said that this family that spoke publicly and said, we went, they filled out, you know, they're going to get a search warrant for the murderer's home. This is before Columbine, before when they were just threatening to murder other students. And they were building and detonating pipe bombs and other threats. And the sheriff's department said that this family was lying. You remember that? And it came out in the investigation that finally someone in the sheriff's department had the courage, even though they did it anonymously, as I recall. They took the paperwork, the application for the search warrant, and they sent it to, you know, they made it public to the governor's investigative body on this, on the Columbine massacre, and to the media. And so the sheriff's department then admitted. And so it turns out everybody knew. I mean, people who were following the case knew they were lying all along. They knew they were lying. And so it became public knowledge that they were lying. But the media never really, the media in Denver never really did anything about it. And the governor's commission on Columbine, they never really did anything. They just mentioned it in passing in their report. And in fact, while the police were still surrounding Columbine, millions of us watched on live TV, helicopter footage. It was just a horrific scene. While that was happening, I recall seeing the police, well, the Jefferson County Control Center, their mobile command center. I recall seeing that leaving its normal parking spot and just wondered, you know, where's that headed to? Then I ended up watching on the news with, like, I think it was 46 of my closest friends. Sort of literally. We watched the Columbine saga massacre unfold on the news. And what the sheriff's department didn't tell people at the time was inside their mobile command center, they were attempting to get their files on the two murderers. It was so obvious from the beginning of that crisis who did it. The parents suspected their own kids. The sheriff's department suspected it might be them. And then the sheriff's department immediately began to lie and suggest that they had no reason to suspect these two. Some perverse lie. So anyway, we got to figure out what the warning signs are. The warning signs are everywhere, everywhere. Remember that dad we talked about just like three shows ago? He said his son at the airport got on a plane and fly off to some city, sort of like Home Alone in reverse, sort of, or something like that. So the dad said, you know, what am I supposed to do? If I don't discipline him, everybody's mad at me because he's a brat and he doesn't obey and he just gets on an airplane. If I do discipline him, you threaten to throw me in jail. So what am I supposed to do? So we have now two math teachers murdered in 2 days by students at their school. And so just like Drew's sister who decided, and you know what, for her, Drew said it was a school shooting that was, for her, the last straw. She said, I just can't do it. I mean, I know how dangerous these schools are. And I'm just not going to allow my kids to get this substandard education, to get this dysfunctional socialization. I mean, you want your kids socialized, yeah, in a healthy social environment, not in the sexually dysfunctional, perverse environment of the government schools. So she said, I just, you know, I got to protect my kids. And you know what? You start homeschooling your kids and you're afraid. Drew said his sister thought she simply couldn't do it, you know, because she's not qualified. So many people, parents, I just talked to a family a week ago, beautiful story. And they said the mom thought she just couldn't homeschool the kids. She wasn't qualified. And you know who are the smartest people in the country? Homeschool moms, because they learn it all over and over with their kids. You know, they go, forget the homeschoolers on Jeopardy. Let the homeschool moms go on Jeopardy. In fact, it reminds me of my son, Dominic, who's now, how old is Dominic? He's 12. And we went to visit Walt Brown, my favorite scientist, Dr. Walt Brown in Phoenix. And while we're there, there was also happened, there's a hockey tournament. And so my 12-year-old son is talking to one of the moms of the hockey team. And he said, well, we figured out what is the most difficult position in all of sports, all of sports. And she said, oh, what? You know, she's thinking it's going to say NFL quarterback or something. And he said, it's the youth hockey travel team goalie's mom. That is the hardest position in all of sports. And, you know, I think Dominic had a point. The youth hockey travel team's goalie's mom. Wow, that's a tough one. That's rough. Yet you send your kids to a government school and you're aware of all the risks. And then, you know, if things go reasonably well, they just lose their soul. That's if it goes reasonably well. I mean, you send your daughter there, she loses her virginity, right? In her innocence. And you send your son there, he loses his first child because eventually, you know, when they go off and they're in kindergarten, first grade, they're so cute. You know, it couldn't be more cute. And the teachers are so wonderful. They love the kids. That's why they're doing it, except for the homo teachers who are perverts who forget them, though. But so at first, second grade, it looks so cute and wonderful. But then all these kids, they all get older, you know? And their flesh, this tendency to disobey God and to hurt others and to hurt themselves and to disrespect authority, for each of them, their flesh grows and grows in its strength and the pull of the world system and godlessness on them. And as they give into that, the more they give into that, the more they tend to think that they defend their sinfulness, perversion, drunkenness, and so on. And godlessness and promotion of homosexuality and socialism and all that. And they find out that it's wrong to eat animals and, you know, global war and all that bigotry, really, against the Christian worldview. And so pretty soon you've paid for your free education. The government gives you free education. It's free if you don't count your child's soul. If you count your child's soul, it's a very dear cost. And you know, it's not even free anymore, right? Because you sign up for this class and they say that's $190. This, you got to pay for the books, $320, you got to pay for this. So, you know, it used to be make believe free, and now it's not even make believe free anymore. It costs you a fortune now to destroy your kid's mind. Used to be you destroy your kid's mind on your neighbor's dime. Now you got to pay through the nose to destroy your kid's mind. And so it looks like, so if it goes well, then the cost typically is your child's soul. But if it doesn't go well, then your child either gets sexually assaulted or gets pregnant and the school nurse sends her to the local Planned Parenthood child killing center, the abortion mill, or your son comes home and says he's bisexual or he's experimenting with homosexuality. Or he's going to marry his phys ed teacher as soon as he graduates, and, you know, or really shack up with them, and so on. So that's what we think of as, well, then that's when it doesn't go very well. I remember, 20 years ago reading Augustine. Remember St. Augustine? And he said his mother had this obsession, this passion, this desire to make sure he got a good education from the culture, the standard education. That's what she wanted for him. And he said his mother was a Christian. She loved God, believed in the Lord, and he thought it was so peculiar because at every step in the way, his education told him that Christianity is false, and it tried to get him to hate God. And he thought, why would my mother, who loves God, why would she send me to this godless education system? And he became a believer, but millions end up agreeing with the school, right? Agreeing with the godless curriculum. So this might be the opportunity for you. You know, and it's not free. I mean, even here at Bob and Yurt Live, we pay. What do we pay? What do we pay in order to warn people about the public schools? Just that one issue. What do we pay to warn them? Because for 22 years, you know, when this show started, our Arbitron ratings, we were on TV for years, our Nielsen ratings, easily we'd be the most popular talk show in any particular market that we were in often. Well, when we got on TV, as far as talk shows, we'd have, I mean, Nielsen ratings would show forget about ratings. We're talking actual shares, 8, 10, 12% of the TV audience would be tuned in to Bob and Yurt Live on various, you know, nights and through the week and the year. It was a phenomenon, but we were determined to warn people to take your kids out of government school. And so what do most Christian parents do when they hear that? They turn off the show, right? They turn it off. They don't want to hear that. And so easily Bob and Yurt Live could have been a major, you know, today, a major talk show, if only we would compromise on some of the fundamentals, some of the things that God cares most about. If we would just shut up about them, we'd have a lot bigger audience and advertisers and a lot more money. But so what has it cost us in 22 years to warn people about the government schools? Yeah, it's hard to say, right? Certainly financial security and popularity and all that. All the garbage you get if you're on, you know, Clear Channel or Salem Radio Network, and like the local in Denver, Salem station, it's the Suicide and Sodomy Salem show with Peter Boyles. Remember that? Peter Boyles was canned at KHOW, and I was so glad he didn't end up on one of the overtly Christian stations. I mean, that was really good that he's not on the overtly Christian stations. But he ended up on a Salem station, which was started by two Christians and conservative nationwide, but it has local shows. It's run by a Christian. And so the Christian who's seen his career as a ministry, but he takes Peter Boyles, who hates Christians. Now he'll smile at the Christians running the station he's on now, KNUS, he'll smile at them when he comes in the morning, except they're still in bed when he comes in the morning. When he's leaving, he'll smile at them, and he'll say nice things about Christians. Now, on the air, you know, I've listened to him like 9 minutes since he's been on this ostensibly sort of Christian-safe station, this local Salem station. And I actually have heard him say some nice things about Christians, which just cracks me up to no end. You know how people mock the Lord? Well, they also mock his followers. So he gets to have this opportunity to speak to thousands of people in the Denver market with the Suicide and Sodomy Salem show hosted by Peter Boyles. And so when we speak what we need to speak to save people's souls, It's not always the most popular message. It's not always. And it cost. You know, what did the Bible say about a prophet? A prophet is typically without honor in his own home, in his hometown. You know, because people get tired. They don't want to hear it. They just don't want to hear it. So we kill kids in our neighborhood. Will you shut up? We're tired of hearing about it. Just shut up and go to church. Sing in the choir. Pray over your meal. Just shut up. Would you shut up? Besides, you're not supposed to judge, you freak. For 22 years, that's what we hear. And so there's a big cost, you know, there's a cost. The prophets, thank the Lord, only one of us have been killed, literally. Right? Our friend Jim Pullian in Michigan, who was killed because he was holding a pro-life sign across the street from a public high school. And it said life and had a picture of a beautiful baby, our friend Matt Truilla's son, a little baby boy. That's it. It said life, a little baby boy's picture, real big. And Jim was shot to death as he held the pro-life sign in front of the public high school. Thankfully, not many of us have been killed these days in the past, yeah. But you heard about the parents who sent their daughter, 15-year-old brat, a drinker, a thief, steals money from her parents, failing her school. Her name is Sophia in Washington, D.C., they sent her to Siberia, literally. They put her on a plane, said it was for a 3-week visit to her dad, biological dad. When she landed, the mom said, honey, it's not for 3 weeks. You're just staying there. We can't take it anymore. And now, of course, you know, the media, it's what's a liberal to do, right? What's a liberal to do? You can't spank the kids. The kids find out that they're in control. You're not. You're the parent. You're a punk. That's what they find out from their culture, which the public school reeks of the culture. And you're just a punk. You think you're the parent. You pay the bills and just stay out of the way. And so this family, they sent their daughter to Siberia. Now the media is all upset at the parents, right? What are you supposed to do if I don't discipline them? You get mad at me. If I do discipline them, you send me to jail. Well, I wish I would have thought of that. Hey, we're out of time. KGov.com.